This episode of the Meme Factory podcast is sponsored by Simply Bitcoin. This is a Bitcoin-only daily show. Check them out at youtube.com/simplybitcoin. And we are sponsored by CryptoCloaks. CryptoCloaks strives for quality products and innovative solutions for your Bitcoin signing devices and Bitcoin nodes. Check out the Yellow Edition MK4 cold card case at CryptoCloaks.com. Enjoy the show.
I hope we don't get a DMCA strike for that.
Nah, we'll be. Your tune's not that good.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in. You made it to another episode of the Meme Factory podcast. This evening, we are joined by Coach Carbon for episode 111. Coach, say hey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to this all week. Coach, appreciate you coming on. Can you give all five of our listeners, I'm sorry, all Meme Factory dozen.
Meme Factory dozen. Come on, Greg. Get it right.
You know what? I mess up sometimes. All right.
Get it right.
Can you give a brief introduction of who you are, what you do in the Bitcoin space?
Coach Carbon, pleb class of 2020. I've been mixing it with people in the UK for a while. And the last couple of years been going to the Amsterdam conference. What I basically do is help educate young people about Bitcoin through football or soccer, as some people across the pond call it. Just having fun with that. I also have a podcast, which is not a Bitcoin podcast, but it is a Bitcoin podcast. And the fact that I host it on Fountain FM, I speak about Bitcoin in the intro and outro. I have little comments in the show notes about Bitcoin, but I basically want to speak to anyone who I call a creative outlier. So I have had some notable Bitcoiners on, but also have, I call them pre-corners rather than no-corners. But everyone's getting the orange peel some way. Exactly. I also host a meetup every quarter in my local area called Oxbit, where we bring people together to discuss Bitcoin, whether you like it, dislike it, or indifferent. It's just a space that people can hang out and discuss. So yeah, fully orange pilled, and for the last say, 3 and a bit years, I've just absolutely loved meeting people in the community, conversing like I am with you guys right now. Yes, Bitcoiners are the best people that I've found.
Oh, hands down. All right, Coach. Well, I know this is your first time on the show. Hopefully not the last. We'll see how tonight goes. And one of the idiosyncrasies of the show is that one of our sponsors requires the guest to do the reading of their ad copy. So if you'll pull up your Twitter DMs or X DMs, whatever you want to call it, I've shot you the ad copy. Take a moment to pull it up. And then if you can run through it, we can get paid and move on with the rest of the show. That'd be fantastic.
Let's rock and roll. Oh, you put me on my
screen. Oh, yeah, you're on black.
Big screen, baby.
Wasn't expecting that. So, hey there, thrill seekers and flavor connoisseurs. Are you ready to take your game to a whole new level? If you're tired of not performing at your highest level, then SusCorp may have a product for you. Introducing Vigor Vapors, the first ever vape pen that's not just infused with the bold essence of tobacco, but also packs a punch with a 50% alcohol by volume. That's right, folks. Why settle for an upper or a downer when you can achieve an authentic athletic flow state with both? It's ultimate combo. Just ask professional athlete Philip Seymour Hoffman. Vigor Vapors is where tradition meets innovation. This isn't just another vape pen. It's a portable party. A companion for those who dare to walk on the wild side of taste and excitement. Every puff is a celebration, a symphony of flavors that will make your taste buds dance and your spirit soar. But hold on, you might be wondering, will Vigor Vapors transform my play and bring it up to the next level? Well, let me give you a gold plated share maybe on that. Because while we can't promise you'll be the best version of you on that field, we're pretty confident you'll feel like it. With Vigor Vapors in your pocket, you'll not just carry a vape pen, you're carrying an experience. Imagine the fusion of rich tobacco warmth and the bold kick of a strong drink, all in a sleek, easy-to-carry design. Nothing in Vigor Vapor's formula is detectable on a drug screening test. So why settle for the ordinary when you can puff on the extraordinary? Juice your game up with a vigor vapors and step in the world where every draw is a new well of strength. Vigor vapors, for those who crave intensity and savor sophistication. Disclaimer, SusCorp does not stand by any claims about the performance enhancing nature of this product, and neither does Coach Carp.
Well done, Coach. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. We can get paid now.
I'm sold. I want one. I'm sold.
Rusty, what's going on this evening? Morning.
Oh, g'day. It is morning still. I'm just Rusty. Okay, Lebra. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Rusty. You good?
I'm great. I'm having a great day.
Rusty's on the 69th floor right now.
Jumping on a trampoline. All right, so Coach, talk to me. What exactly is the Carbon Life Pod?
Carbon Life Pods, I started that in July, August of 2020, so before I fell down the rabbit hole. But at that point, I've always been primed for Bitcoin, but at that point, I had left my former life as a construction project manager. I was looking for other things to do. I was working in the health and wellness industry, just trying to find my way. And I had an idea a few years back. It was, again, around football. My son was playing football. I didn't quite make it. I call myself a nearly man. So I played for a football club as a junior. Left school and did a scholarship, but didn't get the pro contract. So I've played semi-professional football my whole life. My son now was going through that process. He was at an academy, and I wanted to speak with people who had made the journey. So it was going to be called 5 Minutes With, and I was going to speak with people that I know that had made it as professional footballers. So the first podcast was with two of my friends who were coming to the end of their careers. But after I did that podcast, I thought, why just limit it to football? Why not speak with other people who I believe are successful in their own domain, people that necessarily, when you go to your careers advisor won't be able to tell you about these jobs because they're not aware of them. So I now call it the Carbon Life Pods for the creative outliers, people that are doing things, again, that you wouldn't necessarily know. And just by listening to them for, say, 45 minutes to an hour, you can gain an insight into the world, and it might spark an interest that actually I have an idea that is similar to that, or I might be able to reach out to that person and get some advice from. So that's how it started, and that's how it's progressed.
You just brought up something I was super interested in when I was doing some research on before having you on, was that your construction career was very interesting. Good. Okay. and I think it mirrors a lot of how Bitcoiners approach new work environments. I think people would do well to hear how you got in and then what happened to you subsequently went through construction.
Yeah, okay, definitely. So it's funny, when looking back on life, there are many touch points where you think, yeah, I should have understood Bitcoin then. So when I finished my scholarship with football, my plan was to be a pro footballer. So I was going to play semi-professional and find a club. In the meantime, I needed obviously an income, a job. So I started a carpentry apprenticeship with a local company, did my 3 years apprenticeship. At that time, when I just qualified, I got a football injury, ended up in hospital on crutches, so I couldn't work. And fair play to the company, they looked after me and said, well, okay, why don't you come to the office and just do some paperwork so once you get paid and just to so keep you active. So I did that for a few months. When I became fully fit again, ready to go back on site, they said, okay, now you've done all the paperwork for these jobs, why not help run them as like a site manager foreman? So I did that, and then went through the process, went through the qualifications, climbed the ladder. Still in the back of my mind, I'm still going to be a professional footballer. And then fast forward 15 years, and I'm a construction project manager, no longer on the tools, looking around, I was never supposed to be here. What has just happened? So you try to find a way out. And there were many different avenues I tried to go down. I tell a story on my podcast about, I call myself a creative, but couldn't find an outlet. And one Christmas, 2017, I think it was, I got loads of cement. I was collecting the coffee cups that you get from, say, Costa, those sort of places, Starbucks. And they had festive prints. So I would turn them inside out, pour concrete, make concrete molds to make candle holders. And my wife came home one day, there's concrete all over the living room. She's like, what are you doing? Like, I'm going to make these. It was a cry for help. We've only got one left that I bring out every now and then. They were awful. But for me, it was like I needed something. Luckily, after that, I found my avenue in health and wellness and went down that route. But yeah, it was just I needed an outlet for creativity. And where I was in my life, the construction industry, where what I was currently doing wasn't that. I found myself on the administration side, the paperwork, the health and safety, and it just wasn't fun. And I appreciate some people are in that job and they have to do it. And some people enjoy it. But for me, it was like, this is not for me. I need to get out.
I bet that that candle holder is worth more to you now than it ever sold for.
Yeah, well, I didn't sell it.
Oh, you didn't sell any of them?
No.
Oh, no.
That's how bad they were.
Are they still in your garage next to yellow plushies?
So I've only got, there's only one left. My wife threw most of them away.
They threw them away?
Yeah. Only one survived.
You got one. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I keep some keepsakes from old jobs to remind me that, like, I don't want to do that again. I don't know if you feel the same way about your concrete candle holder, but
yeah, no, definitely. There's like, again, you said memorabilia stuff. There's hard hats and high-vis jackets I have. Like, again, I keep and think, yeah, not. It's just a reminder that was my former life, and I don't want to go back there. And again, it's not poo-pooing on people that do that job. The job is vital. It provides a service, but it's horses for courses. Everyone has their ikigai, and for me, that wasn't it.
Well, so many Bitcoiners, I feel like, are stuck in occupations or careers that they absolutely hate. Almost everybody I talk to, they're working a job they don't like, they'd rather not be doing. And they don't know how.
Not just Bitcoiners, I would say.
I agree.
That's Bitcoiners, a lot of people.
Yeah. But people. A lot of them don't know how to take the next step to something else, or they're afraid to, or they just don't know what the path looks like to do the thing that they want to do, the creative thing they want to do. So maybe you can help some of these people talking about how you moved from construction into health and wellness.
Yeah. So a very funny story. And this, I tell this story because it's a prelude to Bitcoin. My wife was going away on holiday. She'd put on quite a bit of weight, and a friend had started her life. When I say the word, sometimes people have a bad misconception or preconception of it. But my wife was adamant she wasn't going to do it. But my story starts about 5 years before that. A friend of mine, professional footballer, started doing Herbalife, put a message in a group chat and said, who wants to speak about Herbalife? And I dismissed it. I didn't even say no thanks, which was terrible, which I'll come back to that later. So fast forward about 5 years, my wife's friend's now doing Herbalife. She wants my wife to do it. My wife says, I don't want to do your fad shake diet. A couple of months later, her friend reaches out again. She's like, do you know what? I'm just going to try it. Gets amazing results. So I'm looking and thinking, well, maybe there's something in it. But again, still, I know how to eat. I know how to work out. I don't need anyone to tell me. We then go to an event. It's called Kickoff. It's the big event they do every year. We went to the biggest one in the UK. And they showed me the business model. And when I looked at it was obviously network marketing. I understood how it worked. But just before the event, for about a month, I'd been taking the products and see how they work, feeling better, saying to my wife, I've never felt this good, even when I was playing football. Let me check out the business model. So I looked at the business model, thought, why is everyone not doing this? It's like you're becoming your best version of yourself. You're helping people around you, your local community. And it's an opt-in, opt-out. If your friend starts taking it and you don't start taking the products and they don't like it, they can stop. And then you help someone else. It's just how humans work. Coach, so you started doing that. Go on.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when Rusty races, everything stops. So,
okay. Rusty, I just saw that. Go on.
If you could, go ahead, man. What you got?
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, no, I just wanted to clarify this herbal life thing. But,
anybody
just eating meat Rusty
right now?
Oh my! What?
Say that again.
Your problem with his microphone?
I think it's like he's in the future. Is that?
Maybe. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there he is.
Rusty, I hear you, Russ. I hear you, Rusty.
I appreciate that rope on Team Rusty. Remember
like the travel back to the past.
So my question is, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Go on, rope.
No. Please, I insist. No, go.
Question, Coach. This herbal life thing. That's just like eating meat 24/7, right?
No.
Yeah, eat herbs.
Just smoking large amounts of weed. Like Greg, yeah, that's herbal life, and he was like fair. 20 years old.
That's what herbal life. A lot of people ask that question. A lot of people think that. So what? You just eat and smoking herbs?
Smoke them, whatever. Right, Vigor vape them, maybe.
Yeah, put it in a vape.
I understand Rusty correctly. He's wanting to know what Herbalife is.
So it's a nutritional company. You act as a, what's the word, as a distributor, sorry. So they do meal replacements, they do sports drinks, they do, just looking at some of the products I have in the cabinet now, facial creams and stuff. So I think in the US, is it Arncla or Arna, something, you have something like that over there? Or Amway.
Amway.
Similar to sort of Amway, I'm told, but I'm not looking to the Amway, so I don't know what it is. But yes, it's network marketing. Distributing nutritional products, internal and external products for your friends and family, but you can make it as big as you like, basically. So yeah, my wife and I, we started doing that. We're helping lots of people in our community. We started out doing fit camps, bringing people together. Again, focuses on health and wellness, but also the community spirit. So then after the concrete molds, that was going to be my way out. I was going to help people and as a health and wellness coach. We had everything lined up for March of 2020 to then open our own nutrition club where people could come and visit, and then lockdown hit.
Dang.
I remember we were sat in our club that we were just about to hire, setting everything up, and Boris Johnson, who was the MP, Prime Minister of the UK, came on TV, and we had our phones out. It was me, my wife, my son, and my daughter setting up, and he said, everything's locked down. And we looked at each other and thought, what are we going to do? So for me, it was then, okay, back to the grind. I'm going to have to stay in my job. She obviously had her job. Then a couple of things happened. back to the grind. Hours got reduced in her job. So we took up a spare job, a second job in a supermarket, called online shopper. So overnight, we'd push the trolley. We've shopped for people and able to deliver out the next day. So I was doing as well as working. So I would work from 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. I would then go straight to work, do a full day shift, and then go home, sleep for about 8 till 1, and then go again. So we did that together for a few months. And then what happened, redundancy came up, for my company. Took it. Smiling, laughing, everyone was like, why are you so happy? It's like, this is what I'm going to do, my way out. So redundancy came. I then started focusing on health and wellness. And this is the most important thing that happened to me. It was the time freedom. So I remember walking down the bypass, which is the highway, one day on the track. And I just stopped. I looked up to the sky and took a deep breath. It was a moment of clarity, thinking I don't have to rush anymore. I'm time free for a certain period. And around that time, so going back to the same group chat where somebody said, who wants to speak about Herbalife? And I dismissed it. Another friend said, who wants to speak about crypto? And I was straight in the DMs like, I know I've missed an opportunity before, which I later then came back to. I'm gonna venture down this route. So I said, yes. Private DM, he messaged me saying, first thing you need to do is do no research. Great comment that we have in the space, but my friend, hats off to him for saying that. So I went away and did a month. Deep dive, and because of the time freedom I had, and I was still working the night shift at the supermarket, so no word of a lie, I was probably doing about 14 to 16 hours a day of education through podcasts, through YouTube videos, through reading. And after the month, like I did the Herbalife event, I was like, why is everyone not talking about Bitcoin? This is the answer. What I'm like, I can't believe I missed this opportunity so many times before, because I had touch points, but it was at a point, I was like, this is it. And so I just dove straight into that rabbit hole and haven't looked back since.
Yeah, it's I think we can all relate to the why isn't everybody talking about this? Well, Not everybody did a month deep dive into Austrian economics and why the system is
broken. Exactly. And if I could just relate it back, sorry, to network marketing, I see Bitcoin as it is a network, and we are marketing. We are becoming the best versions of ourselves in whichever avenue we choose, and we're talking about it, and we're becoming good actors. There are some bad actors in the space, but I think intrinsically everybody wants to be a good actor because it's good for the network. Back to Herbalife, network marketing, people have, again, preconception, they look down on it. But again, in that space, there are good actors and bad actors. I believe I was a good actor. I helped people. Some people didn't always want my help, and we lost them along the way. We stopped working with them. But for me, it was like, okay, we have a product that you can use that can make your life better, but it's not the product you're getting. You're getting me as a coach, and I'm going to give you my time as long as you want to give your time to me. So it's a reciprocal relationship. Coming into the Bitcoin space, I had the same feeling of people within the community wanted to be the best versions of themselves and also helping. Whereas I could reach out to anyone on the DM, and 99% of the time, the person on the other side would then respond to me and give me help. So you mentioned you listen to my podcast. I've had notable Bitcoiners on there. Most recently, Jimmy Song. And even when I sent the message after 3 years in the space, not expecting a response, yeah, sure, I'll come on your podcast. Like, wow, this is what the community is about, helping each other, no matter where you are in the network.
Yeah, so to circle back around, what I got from that is that if somebody wants to get out of the rat race, or if they want to get out of the grind that they're in currently, it's going to take hard work, it's going to take some reflection, and it's going to take saying yes to opportunities that pop up.
Right, yeah. And I say networking, you need to network. Before going to network marketing, I hated networking. And in construction, we had events that people would go to, and I think, why would you go to that? That's so boring. But it's, again, it's finding your ikigai. When you find something that you're interested in, run with it. Meet people that are doing the same thing. Network with them, and your opportunities are just going to grow. And as you said, Greg, saying yes to opportunity. The moment you start saying yes to things, your whole life gets a lot better. So right now, at the moment, I'm doing a challenge called 75 Hard. Not sure if you guys have heard of it.
I'm familiar with it.
Andy Frizzella. So 2020, January, I started it. That was a catalyst for everything that happened in that year. Even when lockdown happened, it was like, I know what I want, what to do with my life. I know what I want to achieve. I've been through difficulty. During that period, a site manager of mine said, why are you so happy? Why you? Every time I see you, you're so happy. I was like, just started saying yes more. Yes to opportunities. I'm now restarting the challenge today. Started on the 1st of Jan, so I'm revisiting it 4 years later. Wanted to then enhance my life again. And something happened today. I was out on a walk at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. my time. It's lashing down with rain. A car comes by and a massive puddle hits me on the face. I'm fully drenched. And I just start laughing. I even did an Insta video. It was like, before, I probably would have been, oh, no. But for me, it's like, to be fair, it was funny. I take responsibility. If I went for the walk earlier for my outdoor workout, I would have been dry and I would have got wet. So it's my responsibility. I'm wet because I left it late to go on a walk. But it is what it is. It could be worse.
Well, go ahead.
I wanted to dive deeper in why do you think it's important to network? Because I really have been thinking about that lately too, because there's so many people, like I've met so many good Bitcoiners, and it just, I don't want to bias you. So why do you think it's important to network?
Because there are degrees of separation. Everybody, however they want to put it, wants to better themselves, wants the best for themselves. But there's a saying that people use in network marketing space, you can get whatever you want in life when you help other people get what they want. So by having a conversation, you may not get anything out from that straight away or at all. But at some point in the future, there's a connection that you've made that, oh, I remember that person. I remember Sean, Big Sean Harris. He's into basketball. I know this person plays basketball. Let me connect them together. And they might go off and do something or just connect. And these connections that you make, so I'm living off connections I've made in the last 6-7 years now. And I'm seeing the network effect. It's like, wow. But when I had that first conversation, that person, you would never have known where the conversation is going to go. So just by saying networking, it's just conversating, speak with people, be interested, but also be interested in yourself. When I was a construction project manager, I was boring. Yeah, I didn't like myself. I had nothing to talk about. Started doing health and wellness. All of a sudden, I've got an interest and I've got something to talk about. Now, into Bitcoin, I've got so much to talk about. People might think, again, I'm boring, I'm in a Ponzi scheme, I'm in a scam. But for me, like, I know what it's about. I've done my deep dive, I've done my research, I believe in it. You're going to listen some way or another.
Yeah, I think it's just when you meet good people and they have good energy, it helps you out, because you might be going through certain things, and if they have been able to tackle those problems, they can help you or you can help them. And it reminds you of certain things that you've gone through. And it's inspiring as you meet new people, you hear new stories. It's like, whoa, there's so many good people that are out there that are doing good things. Cause all we hear about most of the time, right, is the negative stuff. Like, there's a lot of negativity. Negativity is super, like, that's the biggest thing that you see on social media, because that's what catches your eye when you're looking at your phone, is negativity. And that's what gets the likes, is negativity. But when you meet people in real life, I feel like people are way more positive in real life than they are even online. And that's one of the cool things about just networking and getting to know people.
Definitely. But back to your question, Greg, like, what could people do? Turn off the news. When COVID happened, looking at, in my real world, it wasn't reflected on the news. And prime example, at that time, I started playing football again, and I'm on site. So during the day, no one can stand 2 meters close to each other. I'm separating all the trades. Yet in the evening, I'm going to play football with 21 other guys, and we're going around the football pitch, knocking into each other and having drinks afterwards. Like, it's not right. So what you see on the mainstream, you realize is false. So once you turn that off, obviously, you still have to stay up to date with current affairs, which we do via Twitter and whatnot. That's how I seem to get my news. But once you turn that off and that negativity comes out of your life, again, you can become more positive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 24-hour fear cycle, for sure.
Sometimes I turn it on and think, what's going on? People still watch this. But again, you can't be dismissive, because I was once that person.
I thought it was hilarious when you said you were about to launch a company in March 2020. But I have a similar experience. I in 2007, I launched a very home construction-centered business. the residential market just absolutely tanked.
How did you overcome that?
I just grind. I was doing pet sitting. I was working. I was doing everything I could to make a buck. And then eventually got to a point where my company got acquired by a larger player in the space. And that was it.
Pet sitting, is that how you met Labra, or is that just a coincidence?
That is, in fact, how I met Labra, yes.
Okay.
Yes, in 2006, I made something like a digital money that I made. I'm not going to tell you the name. I'm going to tell you that it started with a bit and start and finish with coin. And that was back in 2005. And yeah, I heard this very famous now.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So you mentioned in some of the stuff I was looking into as well that you make it a priority to give back. And that's a theme I see with a lot of Bitcoin. Once they understand what this asset is and how the community kind of functions, one of the things everybody wants to do is give back in one way or another, whether that's through education or helping develop companies that are going to support the space. How did you get to the realization that you want to give back? And then how are you doing that yourself?
I see it, Bitcoin as a gift, no matter how you think it came about. Satoshi, he, she, they, it, who knows? It's a gift for humanity. Again, when I went down that deep dive with rabbit hole, it was like, the whole world needs to know about this. And I probably went about it the wrong way, sending friends and family the three-part Free Love, What Is Money? The Masters of Slaves of Money. And then the 10-part Sailor series said, you must watch this. I doubt anyone ever did. So now I knew I had to change tact. But going back to when I was a project manager, it was 2018. So I just started network marketing and I was dabbling in stocks and shares. But my site manager, and I'll never forget this, asked me one day, can I bring in my gaming chair, my GPU, yeah, that's fine, whatever, just get on with the job. I came in one day, the machine's running. So what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm mining Bitcoin. And a few things should have happened. I should have been more inquisitive, but I wasn't, because I was focused on the job and getting the project over the line. But also, I believe he should have sat me down and said, coach, or not, I wasn't coach at the time, Josias, come and listen to this. So at one point, I asked a question. I'd seen something in the news about people going to colder climates to mine. So I said, oh, one day, what's mining? And he laughed, and the laborers in the room as well, they laughed. They went, oh, it's not actually mining, mate. You don't dig anything. And so I went, whatever. And I was too proud to ask more questions. But I think he should have sat me down. So again, everyone gets Bitcoin at the price they deserve. I want to be the person that I think I should have had at that point. But also I say to people, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask me anything. I may not know the answer, but there are people in the space that I could go to, or there's resources out there that I could try and answer to the best of my ability. So that's what I wanted to do. Be that person, just to, again, trying to lead people down the rabbit hole, not push down, but say, rabbit hole there, just take a look into it. But the turning point came in about, it was March 2021, yeah. So I'd been doing about 6 months of, say, networking in the space, just following people on Twitter, reaching out, and made friends with Daniel Prince from Once Bitten. And I joined a learning group where we used to meet every Tuesday. So there were about 15 of us around the globe, just meeting and talking, discussing Bitcoin, all different levels, years of Bitcoin. Some had been OGs from, say, 2011 onwards, and myself had only been a few months in the space. And one day we were on a call, and it was a surprise guest, and it happened to be John Vallis. And so I tell the story to friends, and like, who's John Vallis? But at that time, I was like, wow, John Vallis is on the call. So we introduced ourselves. My name is Josias, former project manager. I want to give back the space.
Was he wearing a shirt?
Software. He wasn't. No. He wasn't wearing a shirt. He was topless.
Never. I think that's part of him getting out of his corporate job. I don't think he wears shirts anymore, period, unless he has.
Laying on the couch, no shirt.
Yeah, I think he might have been at a desk, but he definitely no shirt. Looking very, very trim physique. But where was I going with that? Yeah, so I said, I want to give back, but I'm not an engineer, not a software developer. I can't find a job. And the words I'll never forget, he said, why don't you provide value in your community? And that night, I didn't sleep. I launched Bitcoin Ballers. It was like, I love football. I understand the similarities between Bitcoin and football. I'm going to help people this way. And that's what happened. So I started off just as an Instagram page, giving away Satoshis just by interacting. All you had to do was like a post, and I would try and send you sats. Then I started doing skills competitions. That then morphed into actually, let's enter teams into football competitions.
Not everybody is familiar with what Bitcoin Ballers is. Why don't you tell us?
Sorry. So Bitcoin Ballers is my platform that I've created to help educate young people about Bitcoin through football or soccer, as some people call it.
We're going to call it football.
Put the whole world.
It's definitely soccer.
What the fuck is a yard?
Well, yeah, let's call it. We got Sean.
What you're playing in?
Everything is football, right, Sean?
Yeah.
I've got something as well. Camera angle, yeah.
That's not a real word.
Sorry, I missed that. What was that?
I couldn't make out what word that was on the football. That was just gibberish.
Did you not see it? Or you
been... I saw it.
Oh, okay. it's an old sport ball.
Old sport
is the brand, but I have the logo on. Nice. The camera angle.
Nice.
Oh, how did you get that? Where do I get one of those?
If you go on my Geyser page, you can have a look.
Okay, good.
He said, but I had these made grinder. That's a different kind of ball.
Yes, they're balling too.
Yeah. So I had those actually made for the Bitcoin conference in Amsterdam, but they got stuck in customs. So they didn't actually make it to the event. So I had to get the ship back because I was going to pay the import tax. Again, it's fear clown world.
Yeah.
You pay for something, you buy a product, and then there's someone, a rent seeker on the other side saying, you need to give us more money. Like, no, that's not going to happen. So we found a way. We got them back to the UK, and then we used some other footballs, which, again, led to another connection, which you could never have imagined. So I am now working with a foundation based in, well, a global foundation that have refugees. But they do it through sport. So we should be working in the future together to work on projects. But I was just happened to ride by in Amsterdam on a bike and saw an orange football in the window. So I thought I'd stop, want to have a chat, went into the store, had a chat with the people. Because our balls then didn't make it on the day of the conference because I had an event on, my cousin went to the store and said, can we borrow some footballs? They let us borrow them. We took some great shots, made some content out of it, gave the balls back, thought nothing of it. A few weeks later, somebody reached out and said, we've had a look at what you're doing. We like it. Can we keep in touch? And then from that, it's just snowboarded into projects that we're working on.
Oh, because you had your
balls. Thank you. Thank. Yeah, all because I had my balls held. Thank you, Brexit, for that. That was all because of Brexit. So Brexit was successful in some ways.
All right, so go back to Bitcoin Ballers. You're doing Bitcoin education for youth. That is
So I say I aim at the young people because I believe that's where the future is, the next generation. But I do involve families and parents.
I don't think anybody argues about that statement. I don't think you need to justify that children are the future. It's just time dictates that.
No. Yeah. Time is relative. We all know that.
But yeah, trying to orange pill, I'd say adults. I find it a bit more difficult because, again, appreciating where they are, they have a focus. They need to go to work. They're in the rat race. They're in 9 to 5. They haven't got the bandwidth or the time or mind space to just look at it. When I speak to young people, majority of them are aware of digital currency, of Bitcoin anyway. And then when I go back and circle back to the parents, they say, oh, yeah, my son or daughter knows about Bitcoin through Roblox or what's the other game they play? It's the online
Hunger Games.
Showing my age now. Hunger Games. Similar to that, but it's online where they fight and kill each other. Fortnite, there's the one. Fortnite. Yeah, my daughter plays it. So yeah, they know about it through that. So a lot of the young people are educating their parents. But for me, the reason why I'm so proactive and passionate about Bitcoin is the fact that I don't want other young people to go around the shitcoin route. So my three selves that I talk about, I have a rebound board where people can keep the board against the board for training sessions. And it says self-discovery, self-ownership, and self-discipline. All of that leads to then your personal responsibility. But I want those young people to understand that related to not only their football skills, their Bitcoin education, but also to life. And again, there's no guarantee. But if you think about those three things constantly, then I believe your life is going to be a whole lot better.
Talk to me about the three selves. Give me a little bit better rundown on that. What are you teaching kids about the three selves?
So self-discovery. With Bitcoin, you have to want to learn about it and then go down that rabbit hole. With your football skills, you're going to have to learn these skills. And they're not going to just happen overnight. You have to take your time with them. So self-ownership, once you have those skills with Bitcoin, what are you going to do with it? You're going to have to be responsible for it. With their ownership in football, when you're out on the pitch, you're taking responsibility for your actions. You try and do a skill and you lose the ball and someone scores a goal, that's on you. Then you go to the self-discipline. When you're in the Bitcoin space or when you just discover about Bitcoin, are you going to go all in or are you going to DCA? Yeah, do your research, understand what you're dealing with. With the football, the discipline, if you want to be a professional footballer, there's no guarantee, but you have to put in the work daily from a young age all the way through. And you might not make it at 19. You might not make it at 21. It might take you until 25, 27, which I still see. Friends of mine made up professional footballers in their mid-20s. It's still happening now. But if 10 years previously someone said to you, every day you're going to have to do this amount of work, your proof of work, but there's no guarantee you're going to make it, would you do it? So that's part of your discipline. And that's part of your Bitcoin education, your stack, whatever you're creating in the space. you have to put your proof of work in daily. And if at the end of that period, you haven't produced what you said or what you wanted to produce, or your stack isn't as high as you want it to be, that's done to you. That's your own. You have to own that.
I like that outlook too, because when you talk about work, right, I think one of the biggest things that most people get wrong is a lot of people sell their time for money, right? They go, okay, I'm going to work. And so they kind of get it backwards, where they just think right off the bat that my time, no matter what, is worth money. But, you know, coming from the athletic world, like what you're saying, and most endeavors in life, when you, for something that you really want, it's not about putting time in, it's about putting the work in. And as you put the work in, if you don't put the work in, you know that you won't achieve your goal. And because there's so many people that are putting in work. And if you do put in the work, then it's like, okay, I might achieve my goal now. It's still not promised. But if I don't do the work, then I know I'm not going to get it. And so I think that's a thing that keeps me motivated to work, is I have to work. And that's just the baseline. Some people think, oh, I'm working hard, that's like the number one. No, it's like, that's just the requirement right off the bat, is to work. You have to do that in the first place.
Definitely. And because we live in a world where, say, the money is broken, you look at people that aren't working and are reaping rewards. And so, again, I mentioned rent seekers. There are so many rent seekers in the world because the system allows it.
Yeah, it's actually kind of amazing when you think about how, I think Bitcoin has brought me to thinking about how work plays into money. You know, I think a lot of people, including a lot of kids and adults too, when they look at Bitcoin, they think about it as something speculative, and they want to find the next Bitcoin, they want to find the next altcoin, because to them it's not about they haven't understood the proof of work part yet. They're coming for the quick gains. But once you understand proof of work, then that in itself is like, oh, if I just work hard, I get better at what I do, I'll make more money. If I take a risk, I can make a business, I can do this thing, and I'll make more money, and I can save my wealth in a money that doesn't steal from me. And that's totally different than anything we've ever had before. Before, you kind of had to hit the lottery because your money's going to get stolen from you. You know, your wealth is going to get stolen from you. So you had to just go hit the lottery. But now it's like, you don't have to do that. You can work hard and be profitable and save your wealth in something that will last much longer than all of us will. So it's really cool to finally have something like that.
Yeah, it's about understanding your time preference and lowering your time preference, and saying to the young people, again, consistently put the work in over time. You haven't got to go for these schemes that are going to get rich quick. So going back to altcoins or shitcoins, I say to people, okay, learn about Bitcoin, study it. I'm not telling you have to just do Bitcoin. Okay, that's what I would advise, but it's your personal responsibility. I can't lead you. You're going to have to discover for yourself. I would advise not to, and here are the reasons why. Here's the evidence. Here's the proof of work of all the other shitcoins that have been and gone, ones that are around now that promise you the world. But look at Bitcoin. It's been here consistently for 15 years. When you look at people that are involved, and I say the smartest, wealthiest people I know are into Bitcoin, and I use Michael Saylor as an example. Now, we don't put full faith into anyone, but Saylor's done the work. I've done the work. We've come to the same understanding. But who am I to say him and people of his ilk are wrong? Okay, we're all betting on the same game, that the network is strong, it's going to persevere, it's going to be here for hundreds, thousands of years. If I'm wrong, I'd rather be wrong with this set of people than right with the others.
Yeah,
me. Yeah. Too. I was just going to say, I think, and for kids, I think even a low time preference makes more sense for kids too, right? Because they have so much more time left to live.
And hard for a kid to be low time preference, though.
What do you say?
It's hard for kids to be low time preference.
Yeah, maybe like... Yeah.
It's you like, ever seen the marshmallow study?
Yeah.
The marshmallow. Yeah, exactly that. Awesome.
they all eat the marshmallow.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Up to a certain age.
Not all.
Yeah. Oh, they don't. The ones that don't, they like followed the ones that didn't, and they were way more successful. They followed all of them eventually. And the ones that didn't eat the marshmallow were way more successful. But oh yeah, you gotta be coachable. Low time preference. You just gotta be coachable, right?
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, there's an experiment where scientists will leave children in a room with a plate that has a marshmallow in it and say, "Hey, don't eat that. We come back in the room in 2 minutes and it's gone, you lose. But if it's still there, you get a second marshmallow." And like,
and then at the end, Greg comes in and just eats all the marshmallows.
Right. Exactly. Well, if they eat the marshmallows,
taxation.
You're gonna have these
marshmallows. Tax.
All right, this is a fantastic time. I know Lara can't give out scores tonight, but I'd love to punish Rope.
But I have a comment.
You do?
Yeah. I think that everything is football, and Sean, all your models, basketball models, are destroyed.
That's probably true.
So I want to see if we can get Rope to give out scores before the evening. Rope, at your convenience, sir.
Man, I really didn't prepare anything for this, so we're just gonna off the top of the head. Sean, gonna get you a snickerdoodle cookie. I don't know where that comes from, but it was in the YouTube chats. Rusty, I'm gonna get you a nice glove for when you raise your hand. I think you'd probably enjoy that. Greg. What color? Orange. Greg, I'm gonna get you a hair transplant, sir. Labra, you've been all your medical bills have been paid for. Pedro,
veterinarian bills.
Veterinarian bills. Thanks, Sean. Pedro, you get a lifetime babysitter for your anyways. And then Coach Carbon, man, you get a nice clean soccer ball. How about that?
Oh, incredible. Thank you. I'll put it on a stand.
It's football, sir.
Next to the concrete candle mold. Pride and place in cabinet.
All right, so Coach, what are you working on these days? What do you have in the pipe? I'm sorry. So we're gonna hand raise.
Go on. Another hand.
Yes, I have a question for Coach. Coach, what is your favorite Premier League team? Thank you, and why? Thank you.
If you don't,
my favorite team, Arsenal. And purely because, as a young boy growing up, my idol was Ian Wright. Again, for those of you who don't know, Ian Wright was a late development. He got into professional football
I thought he was the pilot guy who did the planes. He was the first guy to fly. One of the Wright brothers. No?
One of the Wright brothers. Just a bit after that time. He may have been a descendant. but he did have a meteoric rise. So he got into professional football late. Again, proof of work, continued to play football. Took his opportunity, played international level for England, but also was a top goal scorer for Arsenal. And at that time, was a young boy, modelled myself on Ian Wright, always got the kit with my name on the back. If you look at my Instagram profile, I have a shirt with my surname and number on the back, which was the same as his, which is in my son's room as a bit of inspiration. So in his room, he has my shirt from when I was 10 years old with my name on the back, and also has a shirt for another football player called Jack Wilshere. And it's like, you can transition from that young boy into a professional footballer, just put the work in, which is what he's currently doing now. He's currently playing for a side off of City, actually, who was sponsored by Coin Corner. So last season they got promoted into the league, which is below professional level, with the Bitcoin logo on the back, which was all over BT Sport when they won the playoff final. So yeah, that was good to see, putting Bitcoin out of there, orange pulling people. And the fantastic thing is, although Corn Corner don't want their team anymore, that footage is still used in the media. So every now and then I'll see on YouTube or on their social pages, the Bitcoin logo. Like, in a few years' time, people will look back and think, wow, Bitcoin was prevalent and we missed it.
Nice.
Right, I've actually got a soccer story where I'm located at down here in Birmingham, Alabama, in the States, not England. A guy at my local Bitcoin meetup, he was like one of the first professional athletes in the States to take some of his pay in Bitcoin. Alex
Cognale.
Yeah. He plays for our professional
Legions.
Yeah. Football. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's cool. Shout out to him.
Wicked. So again, talking about conversating, networking, Alex on my podcast, I saw that he was into Bitcoin, reached out via Twitter DMs, fancy having a conversation. Sure, why not? And that was a scoop because that was not long after he announced. So I think that was 2021, late 21 or 2022 that I had him on the podcast.
Something like that, yeah. He's a great guy.
Do you think more athletes will understand Bitcoin?
Definitely. We've seen it. Obviously, we've seen what Jack Mallers is doing with Strike, onboarding pro American footballers, and also what other sport has he gone with? Have you got any basketball players?
No. Sports? And you think athletes are more prone to understand Bitcoin? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking. You think, like, because we have such a short career compared as athletes, you have a lot shorter of a career compared to any other career, right? Like most careers you're doing from like your 20s to your 60s, right? And athletes are playing from their 20s till their 30s, you know? Like they get lucky if they get into their 30s. And
I think it's twofold, isn't it? How they understand Bitcoin.
How so?
The fact that athletes understand proof of work, but then they also understand time preference and the fact that my energy, which is stored in the money, I need to transport into the future. And I've only got a short time to accumulate as much as I can. And I need to transport back to the future for my friend, for my family. Once they understand inflation, that the amount they earn in that 10-year period, if they're lucky, will be worth less in 10 years' time. That how do I store that energy? How do I keep that for my future generations? Once you look into Bitcoin, understand how it works as a monetary policy, makes sense. I think Ross and O'Connor said that when he announced with Strike, that he was going to take part of his salary in Bitcoin. He's like, I need this for my family, and I have a short career. It doesn't make sense. It's being printed away in front of my eyes. So that my energy when I go to work, when I get hit, as they do in American football, or when you get tackled in soccer or football, that is that's your life, that's your work, you are rewarded for it. So for those hits, those knocks, those goals, those touchdowns you scored, I would want to keep that energy and take it towards the future and benefit my lineage, my future generations. And the dollar, the pound, the euro, the yen is not going to allow you to do that.
Not for long. All right, Coach, talk to me about these projects. You got started and then we loaded you up with questions. I'm sorry.
That's right. So you mentioned my favorite team, Arsenal, Ian Wright, Ropes, asked about Alex Cognale. So what I'm working on at the moment is potentially the biggest project I've ever done in my life. So, I've got one foot in the door.
No,
I need to get that. They one foot on. It's not that. Go on.
No, stop that. Get both feet through.
Oh, yeah. So I've got one foot on the pitch. Now I need the Bitcoin community to help me get the second foot. So if you're a whale listening to this podcast or you know a whale, please get them in touch with me. So we have an opportunity to represent Bitcoin ballers at the soccer tournament, which is the world's biggest football tournament held in the States, North Carolina in Cary. They had the first one this year in 2023. Sean, you may know it from TBT, the basketball tournament. You aware of that?
Yes. I played in the TBT twice.
Actually. Oh, wow. So you're fully understand this. The soccer tournament has launched as a side project from that. They had the first one in 2023 in Cary. They're doing one in 2024. So I was made aware of it just watching on socials. They had a team from the UK. Later found out they had quite a few teams. They had a team called Hashtag United, which are a semi-professional side. They had West Ham United represented, which is a professional Premier League team in the UK. They had Wrexham, which some people may know from Ryan Reynolds, who's now the owner. But they also had teams from the States all over. Borussia Dortmund were also there. So I'm watching this guy who I know on socials thinking, I want to be there. I want to play in that tournament. Watched the final, the winning goal. Met the team, won $1 million. It was Newtown Pride. So I had no idea how who Newtown Pride were, but it showed that anything is possible. So Newtown Pride were in this competition and beat the likes of Borussia Dortmund, West Ham, and Wrexham to win $1 million. So the moment the goal went in, I tweeted, Bitcoin ballers will win TST 2024. And then I had Satoshi's quote, if enough people believe it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I just spammed the hell out of the TST account for the next 6 months, which has given us the opportunity to be accepted into the tournament. But there's still some hoops to jump through in terms of sponsorship. So we need to cross that hurdle to then be fully fledged and then to be announced. But
is that sports terms here?
Is that hurdle, sorry?
Things to dunk and hoops to go in.
Everything is sports. Let's just go with that one, Sean.
Yes, it is. Is this tournament ran by the same people who run the basketball tournament?
That's right. Yeah, same company. Yeah.
Okay, because I know that. So you guys are already in the tournament.
We've signed the agreement. We just need to pay the fee.
Is he breaking up for anyone else, or is that?
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, he's breaking.
Anybody
up.
Here, Sean?
How about now?
Was it me that it's breaking up, or? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've signed the agreement. We just need to pay the fees now, basically. So now we're looking to onboard sponsors. Again, the opportunities will be front of shirt sponsor, back of shirt, shoulder. There are plenty of opportunities, but it's for me.
Yeah, you know the deal.
Well, yeah. So you don't have any sponsors? Yeah. Oh, hey, Libra.
At present, no, we don't have any sponsors. I've had perfect, a deck that's gone out to many people.
Factory.
So basically, beggars can't be choosers. We'll go with $100, and we want right in the middle of the shirt. The meme factory doesn't exist. $100. That's it.
Australian dollars.
I'll put you on the back burner, but I may have to come back to you for that. As you say, beggars can't be choosers. But I'm more than happy to send you the deck. Have a look at it. You could share it with other people.
Yeah, that Rusty.
Have you been in contact with the guys running the league?
Yes, we had a call with them.
Was it Dan Friel? Was he the guy running it?
Yeah, Dan and Luke.
Okay, I'll put in a word with Dan because I actually know him decently well. So
okay, so I'm confident that the Bitcoiners in this space will support. Totally think they will do that. For us now, it's a time issue. Whereas people are looking at it, the tournament is in June. There's a lot to do before that. But also, I'm launching on the 21st of January, 21ism, the Bitcoin Ballers Academy, which is going to allow young people to train this opportunity to be in the squad. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for a squad that's complemented by young footballers, ex-pros or pros that are just coming towards the end of the career, but also your, say, celebrity influencer types that are going to bring attention to the team, but also who can play football. So what I'm offering now is for some Bitcoin ballers, or some ballers to become part of the academy. We're going to meet twice a week in person and virtually, one for the training to be part of the football squad, but also for the Bitcoin education. So I'm now approved my Prima Bitcoin or my first Bitcoin educator. So we'll be going through the diploma over the 10 to 15 weeks. So at the end of the course, you will leave as a minimum with a Bitcoin, with a diploma in Bitcoin from my Prima Bitcoin. But if you put your proof of work in and you're good enough, you're going to be going to the tournament in North Carolina to represent Bitcoin winners.
Because it's in
it's in North Carolina, yeah. So obviously we need to fund the trip for the flights, the accommodation, kit, everything. So having great conversations, but the conversation needs to start rolling a little bit quicker because obviously we need to then confirm to TST that yes, you can fully count on us to be there.
How do we get Mbappe to join the team?
Just from what I've done in the space, it's just network and shit the hell out of it. So we have some notable players. Just announced last week, if you probably check out my Twitter, Izzy is an ex Canadian player, Canadian international level. He's committed to the team. Izzy Nakajima Farhan. We have Lucky Mukasana, should be playing with us.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get Alex
really
involved.
Luck is playing with you.
I'm trying to get
Alex involved, but I'm not sure how his contract will work if he's be eligible to play. I try to get a notable Bitcoin as well, Kieran Gibbs. Unfortunately, I missed that boat. He's not able to play for us. I'm not sure if I can reveal this, but he may be playing for someone else in the same tournament. But so yeah, we're trying to get people on board who are, again, influencers, celebrities that can play football, but also notable Bitcoiners who understand, sorry, notable Bitcoiners who play football, or vice versa, notable footballers who understand Bitcoin. Another one is Ryan Babel. I'm struggling to get in touch with Ryan Babel, but my feed is out in the network. Hopefully he can get involved. So if you know of any footballers who understand Bitcoin, and again, Bitcoin only.
Do you need a goalie at all?
You're putting your name in the hat, so.
Hey, I could play goalie, right?
Yeah. To be fair, I did reach out to you when I would put that out to TST. I said, do you play football? You said you used to play. So, yeah, put your name in the hat, show your proof of work, send me your videos.
I don't know.
Greg, you're good to go, Greg, right? You play a little bit of soccer, right?
That's actually true, yeah.
Yeah, do you play, Greg?
It's been a long time, but yeah.
Yeah, the boots.
He's
back
a
on.
Great goalie. He doesn't even have to move. He just takes up the whole space in front of the net. The best goalie, I swear to God.
I have a halfway decent 6-yard kick. Not my bad.
Greg is strong as an ox. That is fact.
Just like a giant potato in front of the goalpost.
But
yeah, from pole to pole.
You know what? I was gonna ask Rossi to do an Artie impression, but right now I'm really feeling.
God
like
damn it!
Rope.
I should do it.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna make me insult. You're gonna make. Oh, come on! I did the scores. What are you
I know,
doing
but
here?
You earned it. You earned it, Rope.
Is this about the goalie comment? Is this did I hurt
no.
your feelings?
No. 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 Obviously not.
Are you sure? Okay. So, all right. Boy. Oh, good evening, Ozaya. It's me, I'll be here. If the meme factory did exist, we all know it doesn't. Which one of us would you like? Which one would you retweet? Which of us would you mute? And for extra points, who would you zap?
So I was hoping Becca was on the call, so sorry, you were alike, but unfortunately not. So it's going to have to go elsewhere.
Oh, you can still hand them out to people that aren't here.
Okay. Yeah. So I give Becca a retweet. Only purely because the trolling that she did with Sailor and managed to get an interaction was like, that's the level I want to get to. I want to troll someone so much that they have to take notice of me. It has happened with the TST, but I need to do it some more now. So yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of Sailor, see if he wants to get involved with micro strategy on the front of the shirt. Or Sailor Academy. Sailor.org. I've sent them the deck, so maybe that will work. But yeah, Becca for the retweet. For what was the other one like?
Yeah.
For the like, to yellow, just for the consistency. Yeah.
that's people who aren't here tonight.
Oh, no. Sorry. I was hoping they'd be on the call. that's proof of work right there.
RD's in the chat.
Mark is in the chat. RD's in the chat.
So, like, retweet. What was the other one?
Zap. Mute. Zap.
Oh, mute. Mute. Sorry, Sean. It's going to you. But we've now established this. Bitcoin is sport. So, where Bitcoin is basketball, is that a mute? But Bitcoin is sport. It's getting a lot.
Sean, he muted you and then changed your saying like it was a
wow.
Well, he's anti-basketballism.
And then you're gonna take my saying and change it?
Sean will understand.
Anti-Mormonism? What is that?
We've improved it, though. We've forked it, right? Right. It's a Bitcoin improvement protocol. Bitcoin is sport rather than football or basketball. It encompasses everything.
Wait, UASF up in here.
All right, we got Zap. Who are you zapping?
I'm zapping Labrador, although I'm looking now, it's Coach Brahado.
Coach Brahado.
Because I thought he was Coach Cabron earlier on.
All right, and we're going to pass it off to Sean for this last bit. Something about blocks.
Blocks. Do you know, Coach Carbon Man, do you know what happens at block height 840,000?
It is the halving, which leads to a party, right?
Yes. You know your Bitcoin. You know your Bitcoin. Having party, and it's getting popping. The party is getting better every single day. The real question that we have is, are you going to be in El Salvador for the having party?
Oh, man. I wish I was. I had planned to when you first announced it. There's a few things going on at that time, so I may not be able to. I'll probably be there in spirit. But if I'm not in El Salvador then, I'll be there in September. I pledged to Bukele a while back that I'd be there to bring football to El Salvador, or bring Coach Carbon to El Salvador to help support what he's doing there. I know he's a big football fan.
Soccer.
Yeah, he's a very big football fan out there. They don't have it there yet.
They don't have it. No, it's not
enough. They got Bitcoin, but they don't have it.
With other things going on at that time, that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
What are you doing in the first week of April?
It's there's an event in the UK actually with another football club where they've asked me to speak. Where they're gonna it's a Bitcoin meetup. But it's also my wife's Zoom birthday. In. So I had planned.
Do you think your wife wants to be in the UK in the first week of April when it's raining and cold, or does she want to be in El Salvador where it's hot?
Exactly.
It's hot and raining.
You can Zoom link the speech at the Bitcoin event.
You're not wrong. 100K by half a day, and I'm there.
All right. We're holding you to it.
Mate, yeah.
Got 100K by having day?
And I'll be there, yeah. And I live stream to Carlton FC, and give a pitch presentation from there.
Oh, look! Oh, wow! We just had a green candle. Bitcoin is at 89,000. I think we're gonna make it.
But it's January 5th, where I am right now. So depending on these ETFs, that may or may not happen. Speculation on January the 5th. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in tomorrow. Did they get approved yet?
I maybe pick up my ticket tomorrow. Yeah.
All right, Coach. I appreciate you making some time to come see us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a pleasure. I didn't get roasted as much as I thought I would. I need to check the comments in the chat to see if anyone picked me out.
It didn't really lay into you too bad. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Save that for the next time you come on. They'll probably take a few shots.
Rope will start roasting you later on, like he roast Greg.
All right, and Pedro, if you can play us out, if you can hear me, that'd be fantastic.
Pedro,
have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Portalo.